Today on a chilling episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, after touring a historic haunted location, a woman begins to feel uneasy about the energy in the room. Could there be something dark, or even evil, lurking and waiting for a living soul to notice? An even bigger question comes to this woman in the months after this encounter, as a string of unfortunate deaths and events seem to put a dark shadow over her life. Could these events have been caused by whatever was hiding in that haunted house? We discuss that story and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd love to hear from you. Of course, you can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com and get access to all of our bonus episodes, the advanced episodes, the archive of episodes. We're talking literally thousands upon thousands upon thousands of shows, all for you. When you're an extra podcast person, an EPP, sign up to be one at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to get in on all of that. It's Tony and Carol Hughes with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Hey.
Hey.
So the other day I was talking to somebody and she told me the creepiest ghost story.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we were talking about podcasts and I work with her and she's like, somehow it came up that I do a podcast. Maybe it's like, oh my God, you should listen to the podcast I'm on. I don't know how it came up. But anyways, so I was like, yeah, it's a ghost podcast. And she looks at me really weird. And I'm like, do you have some stories? And she goes, oh my God, yes. And she said she lived in a haunted house. It was a small town in Kansas. Really small town in Kansas. Mm-hmm. And they were poor and she had just gotten married. So they didn't have a lot of money for a better house. So they moved into this one. And she said it was an old house. I don't know how old, but it kind of made me think like 1900-ish. And so she said that she knew right away when they moved in that the upstairs was definitely haunted. And it really creeped her out. So she had a baby and she kept like seeing something. And then one night after her baby was born, the baby was in his room and was crying in the middle of the night. She woke up like moms do immediately and she saw someone and she goes, it was a woman and she was dressed in kind of, you know, period like 1900 clothing. She saw it walk into her baby's room. And then the baby quit crying.
Mm.
And before she could get to the baby had quit crying. So then the baby said, like kind of cooey, sort of like it was happy now all of a sudden. So by the time she got from her bedroom to his bedroom, like the baby had calmed down, which was really strange. So she had seen the thing a couple times, totally creeped her out. She said, but I knew that she was there to take care of my baby, that she wanted to take care of my baby. But she goes, you know, I don't really want this ghost feeling responsible for taking care of my baby. You know, that's weird, really weird. So one night she heard the baby crying. She got up. This is the creepy part. So she got up, started to go to the baby's room and realized that the baby wasn't crying from his room. The baby was crying from downstairs. Now, this wasn't a baby old enough to crawl down the stairs, let alone get out of its crib. So she goes downstairs and is following the crying baby sounds and finds him in the kitchen on the counter with the water in the sink running, like somebody was getting ready to give him a bath in the sink. And I'm like, what the fuck? How, like, the baby just can't get out of its crib, let alone all the way down the stairs into the kitchen and climbed up on a counter. Isn't that crazy?
That's scary as hell, especially when it's happening to your kid.
Yeah, and so it was really interesting, you know, because I'm we're, you know, face to face and she's telling me this story. And you and I hear stories all the time that we're kind of like, let's not air that one. It doesn't seem real. That one doesn't seem real. But when she's telling me that story, like, just the look on her face, she said after that night, she goes, she never slept upstairs again.
Oh my God.
And her and the baby slept downstairs. And I'm like, how long did you live there? She said, way too long. They lived there for 2 years until they could afford to find another place. But we talk about that too, how it's not just as easy once you move into a house. Now it's haunted and you can't just move out because you need first and last month's, you know, rent, or you need a down payment to buy a home. You know, it's expensive to move out of a house and move into another
one. I mean, unless you're like wealthy or something, it's not an easy thing to do, you know.
But you know, when you're just starting out and you're married to life, chances are you're both making not a whole lot of money.
Sure.
Yeah. And that was their case, and they got the house they could afford.
Yeah. Then you're getting by. And I mean, to have to suddenly move or something would be so, if not completely impossible, it would be such a strain. Yeah. It would be so difficult.
She was like, oh, we couldn't have moved out of there fast enough. She goes, I hated it. And she was like scared all the time.
Yeah.
Even though she knew that the woman only wanted to help her baby.
Well, that's good.
But like, how would the baby get downstairs and up on top of a counter?
I don't know I don't know. I mean, I'd be like, and in the sink, my baby in the sink with water.
The baby wasn't in the sink. The baby was on top of the counter.
Uh-huh.
The sink, the water was running in the sink. Like someone was getting ready to bathe the baby.
And the baby's on the counter though. But I mean, so if the baby falls off, is that baby going to be caught too? Or, you know,
I don't know. Cause somehow, like, I've never heard of anything like that.
No.
And I'm like, I haven't said like, seriously, so I repeated it. So the baby was upstairs and somehow you heard the baby crying and you went down the stairs into the kitchen and the baby's on the counter with the water running.
Mama,
she said, exactly.
I'm going to take bath. Shadow Man, take me to bath.
You're not my child.
Audio Jungle.
That's just some creepy shit.
Yeah.
And I think if someone would have written into this show, maybe that's one we wouldn't have stopped because it's a pretty cool story.
Yeah.
But over the years, you and I have been like, we can't air that.
That's, sure.
You know, you can tell when somebody's writing just to, like, I'm going to get a ghost story written and it's going to be on that show.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, it's few and far between.
I don't think it
happens
that often.
It doesn't. It actually happens far less than I ever thought it would. I thought there'd be a lot of that with the show. And
but had I not been looking right at her as she's telling me the story, I don't know if I'd have believed it.
Yeah.
But the look on her face, like, I believed all of it.
Well, sometimes too, just their voice, you can hear it. Especially if you're speaking, and I can tell that's an easy tell right there with the calls right away. Like if it's legit or not, I can hear it immediately. But again, I don't know. I mean, we're probably talking 1-2% of calls and letters that are actually like that. When I started the show, I thought I'd be dealing with like 50%, quite honestly. So, I mean, that's been a pleasant surprise on this whole thing, but no,
that was creepy.
That is very, very creepy. When you were saying, you know, you tell people, like I do podcasting, you say that out loud. I find it very interesting. The looks that you get, because I don't think a lot of people really grasp it yet. And because there's I think a huge influx of people like saying, I got a podcast, that doesn't necessarily, it's almost like saying, because it's such a blanket thing right now. There's not a lot of, you know, good, well done. I mean, there are a lot of them, but in terms of people trying to do podcasts versus the actual ones that are good, very different, you know, percentages there. So I'm at a doctor's appointment this morning and I'm like, oh, what do you do for a living? I'm like, I do podcasts. And I get looked at kind of like, play,
that's adorable.
Like you play video games in the basement of your mom's house. Like that's like kind of the look that you get. And I hate it because then I always have to qualify it. And I kind of sound like I'm bragging, but I don't know what else to say to make them think I'm not just like, you know, playing video games in my mom's basement or something. And I'm like, so they're actually some of the biggest in the world on the topic of ghosts. And then if they're into ghosts, they're like, ooh. And then it kind of keeps going. If they're not, they still look at you like you're crazy. And I'm like, whatever, just, you know, let's finish this test.
Well, for me, it's easier because I'll have people sometimes when they're like, I tell them I do a podcast, it's kind of a, oh, that's cute sort of reaction.
Yeah, I get that too.
But it's easier for me because it's not my podcast, so I can brag on you.
Okay.
Like, so I can say, no, it's actually my friend's podcast and he does quite well with it.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I've seen that look too. Like, oh yeah, everybody has a podcast.
Isn't that special? Yeah. I just like, yeah. Anyway, I don't care. Sometimes I just want to tell people like I do other random shit, like where it's like, oh, you know, that guy that, you know, how you get the roast beef that's super thin at Arby's. I slice all of it.
You know, when Arby's says we've got the meats, they're talking about me.
Yes.
Because I'm the guy that slices all the meat.
I sit in a room all day and I just slice meat and then they distribute it to all of the Arby's.
And when I get it just the right thickness, mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, I got it.
You know what that feels like when you're just slicing through flesh and muscle and it's just like, you know that feeling, right?
It feels great.
You probably get more of a, yeah, I do, to that than I do podcasts.
That's cute.
You're not slicing meat at the Arby's, are you, though? 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first letter of the day. It says, hello to everyone at the RGSO family. I've been listening to the podcast for a few months now. Happened to find your channel actually by accident, and I'm glad that I did. Start off, my first experience, which wasn't much of one, was in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania in 2013. This was what I'd say, what started my interest into the paranormal. I did not see any apparitions or hear any noises. However, when touring a house in the middle of town, I felt a very strong and uneasy feeling I could not explain. Told my mom and friend and her mom about what I was feeling. My friend said that she had felt it too, which is not really all that shocking considering the history of Gettysburg. My mom, however, did not, but did say that she had experienced that feeling while visiting some mansions in Rhode Island, which were supposedly haunted as well. That was just a quick little story. However, this is the main one. So in the summer of 2015, my mom was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. She was diagnosed in August and passed away in November, actually the day before Thanksgiving. About the third night after her passing, I decided to sleep out in our sunroom for some change of scenery. It was around 2 a.m. or so, and my brother's video game console turned itself on. It was an Xbox, so you either have to press the button on the controller or press a button on the console itself. It woke me up, but being the fact that it was early in the morning and I was tired, I dismissed it. The next morning, I was having a conversation in the kitchen with my dad. I told him about what had happened with the Xbox, and he told me, oh, it was probably just a tripped wire or something. Stuff happens. And as soon as he said that, a can of soup that was on the back of the cabinet flew forward and fell down onto the ground. And I asked him how he would explain that, and he said he had absolutely no idea. A few months later, I was home alone with my dog. We were out in the sunroom, and the door was shut, so she couldn't walk out. I noticed her staring out of the sliding door into the house and wondered what she was looking at. So in order to lock the sliding door, we had a long, heavy piece of wood that you'd stick in the door that was usually propped up between the liquor cabinet and a china cabinet, which at the time it was. A few seconds later, after my dog had noticed something odd, the block of wood, which was super heavy to move, fell on its own. Again, nobody home besides me. That very same day, I was standing out in the kitchen with my dog, and she was right by my side. It was one of her tennis balls that was sitting on the floor. We both watched it just randomly start rolling to the other side of the room. Also, in regards to my mom's cancer diagnosis and passing, I experienced some prophetic dreams. I had a dream about 2 years before she got diagnosed of her telling me that she had cancer. I went and told her one day, and her response was, my God, I hope that never happens. And it did. I also had a reoccurring dream many, many times and had no idea what it was about until the night my mom passed away. I kept dreaming that there was an ambulance in our driveway that was looking out of my bedroom window, but I couldn't see who was in it or what was going on. The night that she passed, I looked out my bedroom window, and there it was, the ambulance in the driveway, and suddenly it clicked. Since then, I've had a couple more prophetic, but not necessarily bad dreams. Usually, whenever a family member passes, they just visit me a day or two after the fact in my dreams to check in on me, regardless of how close I was to them. For the time being, I'm living with my grandparents. Whenever they're home, I don't hear any strange noises or anything like that. When I'm home alone, that's a different story. Maybe due to the fact that I collect supposedly haunted porcelain dolls, and also that these are my mom's parents. I also get an uneasy feeling whenever they're gone. Sometimes I'll be in the laundry room and there's a motion sensor light right outside the door that will turn on when I'm at home and by myself, and it happens quite frequently. Lastly, one day I was sitting at home and I pulled up the Neurophonic app in search to talk of my mom. I had asked if she knew who I was living with, and the response I got is Pappy, which is what I've always called my grandfather. Most of these experiences, I believe, were my mom, which is somewhat comforting because I was very close to her, although I think some of the spirits and the dolls might show themselves on occasion as well. Thank you for listening to my stories, and I hope that you enjoyed. I don't know. And you get into the app and try to talk to mom. Is it really mom? Or is it your worst nightmare? Pretending to be sweet mommy. The smell of cookies in the oven. Beets boiling on the stove. Your father crying in the corner after your mother just used a crucifix inappropriately on his butt.
What? Where'd that come from?
I don't know, but I had to, like, the beats kept going, so I had to start saying something.
The funny thing is, I thought you were going to say, and she threw a can of soup at him.
She used a crucifix.
He
used a crucifix inappropriately on his butt.
I thought it was going to be Campbell's soup. So I did not see the crucifix thing coming at all.
You think it's just good old mom, you know, back over by the stove hanging out, and nope. Hi, honey. Welcome home. Why is dad crying in the corner? Oh, I just used a crucifix in his anus. Would you like some Frosted Flakes? I got some Rice Krispie squares I just made. That'd be great, Mom. Well, thanks. I'm going to go watch Disney Afternoon.
Here's a can of soup I'll throw at you. Because I thought the can of soup thing was creepy enough.
No, not Tony. Nope. We got to go a little darker.
Play along with this question. No. Have you had a dream that I had cancer, or your mom had cancer, or someone like you had some weird dream? Would you tell the person?
I would wake them up first thing in the morning and be like, guess what? I said a dream of cancer. I got to get this off my chest. No, I don't think I would. I think I would shut up.
I don't think I would either, because I've always been one like, I'm afraid, like, if you say stuff out loud, that maybe it would come true. And so, and it's just a stupid... That's just stupid to feel like that.
Yeah, Carol, it's totally stupid.
It's so stupid.
So stupid.
But sometimes I just feel like that. And like, if I say it's going to come
just
true.
Just stupid.
And like, that goes way back to like last year.
Yeah.
But no, I've always felt like that. Like, if you say it, it could come true. And then if it comes true, it's all my fault. That's the stupid thing to think. But I think if I had a dream like that, I don't think I would keep that. It's like having a weird kind of sex dream about your coworker that you're not even attracted to, but you just had the dream anyway. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, you would never tell anybody that.
I can't say I've ever had one of those. No, haven't. Have yeah, not.
I haven't either.
Of course. Of all the dreams, of all the weird dreams that I know I've had, I know I've never had that one. You know, I, over time.
Okay, just say it's an inappropriate dream.
Okay. Okay.
You know, about someone, like maybe you kick the shit out of someone at work.
I've had that. I've had dreams where I've like punched somebody. And I mean, I don't think I've ever punched anybody in my life. I don't get into fights.
I haven't either.
I'm a very non-violent person. But I've had dreams where it's like things were like crazy and I had to like really, you know, stand up to something. I don't remember what it was, but it was like worth it at the time. But then it felt weird because I'm like, oh my God, I just punched somebody at work. And oh my God, what's.
And then you see him the next day and they're like, hey, Tony, what's up?
Oh. Yeah. I have a lot of dreams where I'm back at the radio station and I'm working and like things are falling apart and going bad. And it's like, oh my gosh, am I going to lose my job? And I'm so afraid of losing my job. And I don't know. It's like, I've been in a totally different place in time. And I mean, it's like, I guess it's kind of like the high school dreams where you got like the locker and like everybody's still there in high school. It's kind of like that, but I have that about radio stations.
I have it about college.
Yeah.
And about waiting tables.
There you go.
I just keep getting more sat again and again and again and again and again. And I'm like, quit seating my section.
Yeah.
Like, what is my section? The entire restaurant? Like, I can't keep up with it.
Yeah. Although I did have a, what they would call a triggering experience the other day when I was at a wedding and the DJ, I was talking to him for a little bit and he's like, I got to go unload something over here. Could you take over for me for a few minutes? I haven't done this forever and I do not know how to use half of the equipment that's out there today for like DJing stuff. But he kind of showed me, I'm like, okay, I can figure that out. So I load up a song and I get that going and I get the next and the next song does not load. Like the system like locks up and it's all digital. There ain't no grabbing a CD or something and nothing is like ready to go. But he has a, there's a three and a, not a three and a half, but a, whatever it is that goes to an iPhone. And that's hooked up too. So I plug my phone in and pull up like Spotify real quick. And I pot that up on the board and I play a song off of that until I can get the other thing fixed.
Quick thinking.
But it was,
I thought you were going to say like, and then it was Mother Sundance and I didn't have
no
music cued. So I played No Diggity.
I would have done that anyhow, but it was, I mean, it was like, it was that moment where like, oh my God, this is not working. The song's going to end. It's going to go dead. And there I am. So I was, it's the nightmare that everyone has who does that sort of thing. But
then if there's no song, you could have just said, yeah, well, you paid a freaking DJ who's out at his car, probably smoking weed.
Exactly.
And me standing here DJing your freaking wedding. Do I have to do everything?
I do have to say I was proud of my improvisation. Yeah.
Yes,
there we
very
go.
Good.
Because very good. I have not, like I said, when last time I DJed, there was no such thing as an iPhone. It did not exist. There was no such thing as a device you could just speak out loud to or type in a thing on a computer and have any song come up. You had to bring those things in disc form and have them there. And that's how long ago it was. And but you had backup. So like if you were running mini discs, you'd have a CD backup or something. So I'm like, what was my backup be in this case? I'm like, my phone? Like, and there's no like 3.5-inch, you know, power or audio cord in it. What is it? There is a cord here for that. I'm like, let's see if this works. Got it plugged in. Got it. I'm like, wow.
That was so back at like the turn of the century.
I know. I was just like, not having done that, having a fix really quick. I'm like, wow, I still got it.
That's impressive. I've got the new Galaxy S22. You cannot plug it into anything.
There's got to be, so to do just only Bluetooth headphones?
Only Bluetooth. You can't even listen, like plug in headphones.
Yeah, because there's no 3.5 jack.
Mm-mm, no, sir.
Yeah, iPhones don't have it either. I did see one the other day that folds up and the screen folds up. That kind of looked like the future. It was interesting.
I thought about buying that one, but I didn't.
I wonder how well it holds up over time, or if eventually it's kind of like a weird, I don't know. It feels like too new technology.
I know. It felt a little gimmicky, so I was like, I'm going to stick with what I know.
Yeah.
And this has an amazing camera on it, so that was what was really important.
Well, that is all that matters for catching the dead people when you want to see them. Let's go over to a phone call at 855-853-4802. Let's hear your ghost story. Hi.
Hi, Tony. Hi, everyone else. I wanted to call in my story. I've never called in. I've listened for a few years now, and I wanted to tell a story about what happened to me when I was a young girl growing up in Chicago. So I lived in the city of Chicago, And sometimes I would take the bus in grade school, not very often because the our school was right by our house, so we didn't have to take the bus to go to school or anything. We could just walk. But as I got older and went to high school, I would take the bus. And I was really nervous if my dad couldn't bring me to school. I really didn't like taking public transportation just to go to school. Sometimes it could be a little creepy. We lived on the south side, so sometimes you get some interesting characters, but usually it was just people going to work or doing whatever. So this was my first week of school, and I tried to get my dad to bring me. My older sister usually would take the bus with me, but for that day, she had to be at school a little bit earlier, so she wasn't with me. So this particular day, I was really nervous, and I couldn't remember where to get off at. And it's funny, like looking back now, I have moved away, but I still remember like where I should get off to go to school. And I was really nervous about that. And I remember there was an older woman. I mean, my gosh, I was in my early teens, so I'm guessing maybe she was in her 60s or 70s. We lived in primarily an Irish neighborhood. We were Irish, you know, typical Southside Irish. I just assumed maybe she was going to the grocery store or whatever. And she asked me what school I was going to and said that her kids and her, I think she had said her grandkids, but I can't remember. But I do remember her saying that her kids went to this school. And she said, this is the stop that you're going to get off at. And I said, okay, great. So I got off, and sure enough, I recognized where I was at and went to school. On my way back that same day, I got on the bus to go home. Obviously, I knew what stop I needed to get off to go home, and she was on the bus with me. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And we were just having some small talk, and she asked me where I lived, and I told her where I lived. And she said that she had friends and family that lived over there. And then she started to ask me if I knew a certain family, and then I got off at my stop, and I just thought it was like really interesting that she was on the bus like with me in the morning and then after school. And a few days later, I had noticed her again on my way home. There was some type of altercation on the bus. Like I said, sometimes you can have some pretty colorful characters on the bus. And she was in the bus again. And I remember noticing she wore like a handkerchief over her head, like some of the older ladies did. And I noticed she had on exactly what she had on the last time I had seen her. And I noticed it because it was really warm out, and she had on kind of like a winter, like long winter coat and galoshes, like boots. And I'm like, okay, this is weird, but old people always wear coats, whatever. And she told me to come sit by her. And then she said that she was going to get off at that stop with me at my stop to go home. And she was going to walk down the block to visit her friends or family. I couldn't remember who she said. My mom happened to be there waiting for me at the stop. I don't know. We were going to go somewhere, do something. And I was telling my mom and her, myself and the older woman, we were the only ones that got off at my stop. And I told my mom, I'm like, so cool. Like, this lady has like been with me. And do you recognize her? Because my mom and dad both grew up in that neighborhood. And my mom said to me, Catherine, you are the only person that got off the bus. What are you talking about? So I thought for years, was it like a spirit of someone who maybe she was like ingrained in time, like used to taking the bus to wherever she was going? Just really odd that she would be on the bus the same time that I was. Did she know, like, maybe one of my grandparents or an aunt or an uncle? I have no idea, but I thought I would share that with you. And I really like your show, and I think I am going to become an EPP after I get all caught up. Thanks, guys. I love what you do. Bye.
Thanks for sharing your story. What are your thoughts on that one?
That was the coolest story. Like, but because it wasn't in a creepy way at all. It was like a protective grandmotherly sort of, I want to get you to school safely. I want to get you home safely. Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking, I wonder where this is going. And then I'm like, is the lady the ghost? She was.
Yeah.
And she didn't get off the bus with her.
Mm-hmm.
That was good. That was really good. That's like, it's a movie sort of good.
It was a very heartwarming story until the very bus that Grandma was on fell off a cliff 3 days later. Or did it? Everyone saw it fly off the cliff. But when rescuers reached the bottom, there was no bus to be found. Where did that bus go? And who was driving it?
Grandma!
Was it Grandma?
Yes!
Or was it the devil?
Satan! That's what I thought you were going to say. Or was it?
Satan! Yeah. No, but like, it was a good story. I like that.
I really liked that story. I thought that was really interesting. And like the whole, like, a kid getting on the city bus to go to school and you're young. Yeah, you would be nervous.
Yeah.
And then that was just a good story.
I wasn't though. I would take the city bus to school and I would sell little bottles of like airline size liquor bottles on the bus to grownups.
That you stole at the liquor store.
Yeah. I mean, I'd go in there early because this is before cameras and stuff. And I would just get, I'd just dump them all in my backpack. And then I'd get on the city bus and drive around town. I'd look real nice and be like, the wheels on the bus go round and round, round. I'm like singing and like clapping and they're like, hey, kid, what are you doing here? And I said, I'm just singing a song. Looks like you need a drink. And I'd be like, $20. And then I slip them a, you know, little thing of vodka.
I steal it from the liquor store.
Sometimes I'd have sales where it'd be like, 2 for like 30. It was good money for 89 and only being seven.
That makes me think of It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
Where little George Bailey works at the pharmacy. Like they have this 10-year-old kid who gets to run the deliveries to the old folks around town. He gets to take them their narcotics and shit.
Yeah.
Like
back in the good old days. Yeah. So
like,
people are like probably halfway wondering, did he really,
Mr. Gower?
Yeah.
Don't hit me, Mr. Gower.
Take your pills, Mr. Gower.
You didn't mean, you put something bad in there, Mr. Gower.
Mr. Gower.
So funny, like, who would think of a little kid working in a pharmacy?
We'd be shocked.
And who would think of like when you were little and you worked at the liquor store? Like, you don't think about that.
It was really odd. I worked at the liquor store.
Different time.
I know. It was a different time. And I would also, sometimes I would put up a little cardboard box, too, in alleys that were really dark and kind of grungy and kind of scary. But again, I'd put a little lemonade stand up and I would spike all the lemonade and everybody knew it. And I get, you know, it's like a, it's like a buck, you know, like 4 quarters. The guys would come up and, you know. Sometimes there'd be, you know, fisticuffs in front of it. But, you know, we kind of kept everybody at bay and did our I was very entrepreneurial, if you will. So you had to, you know, you sell them to the right spots, you can sell for the right money. And this is like that show Bullshit. Have you seen that on Netflix yet?
No.
Yeah, it's this where one person it's almost like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Howie Mandel hosts it. And back and forth, the person has to keep guessing, you know, is this true, what this person is saying, or is it bullshit? And if you guess correctly, you move up to the next level, and eventually I think you get to a million.
You'd be good.
Yeah. Harper loves watching it, and she found it the other day. But it's kind of like, it's exactly what I do all the time.
Because you'd be so good at it. Because that's why I frequently have to say, for anybody just tuning in,
yeah,
or if you've been like spacing out during this podcast, what he said was not true.
Yes, yes. Just so
you're, that's what people do. You just hear one little snippet of something and you go back and listen to the setup for that.
I was not selling liquor in the aisles or in the back alleyways. I was doing it in the church basement, to the basement, the church ladies at the Lutheran church.
Seems safer. I mean,
yeah, really, I mean, safer. They're down there. They're Lutherans. Roasting hams and making lefse and lutefisk. And, you know, I come down and I'm like, hi, everybody. Like, would you like a lifesaver, little boy? And I'm like, I love lifesavers. And then they gave me a lifesaver. I'm like, would you like to make a selection from my jacket? And I open up my jacket and it's a little clinking because it's all the little liquor bottles. And the little,
they were actually bottles back then and not plastic. Yeah.
And the ladies would come over and then they'd pick them and they start doing shots. And oh my God, that one, Miss Mabel, she had to be about 85 back then. She started doing keg stands, in the basement one afternoon. And oh my goodness. And then the pastor came down and he got all into it. And it was just, it was a wild party in the basement of that Lutheran church.
Once again, he did not do that for real.
It was a Catholic church, actually. It was across town, the one my dad went to. And there you go. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes. All of it's commercial free, and you help keep us on the air. It's only $5 a month. Or do the full year and get 1 month free at $55. So check that out. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.